Gospel from John 10, 1 to 10. The sermon title is a slightly modified quote from Cervantes. The full quote is, "Forewarned, forearmed, to be prepared is half the victory." Does this weighty title go with the Good Shepherd Sunday text? Usually, this brings bucolic images of sheep grazing on verdant hillsides. And didn't the sermon hymn create an upbeat, peaceful, warm feeling? Isn't the soundtrack to this text classical pastoral music? But the weighty title fits the weighty words. Twice we have our Lord's double amen at the beginning of sentences, which is as heavy as the King James makes it. Verily, verily, Jesus says to introduce thieves and robbers. Twice does Jesus use the divine title, the divine holy Old Testament title of God, I am. The text is a warning. It's about more than sheep in the fold with their shepherd. It's about getting fleeced, forewarned, forearmed. Thieves and robbers come apart from Jesus. He warns, all who came before me were thieves and robbers. And the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. False teachers come on their own. They're never spoken of as being sent. True ones are sent by God. False ones come of their own accord. Confessional Lutherans don't emphasize an internal call. We don't recognize, since the apostles, anyone being called directly by God without means into the ministry. I know that I'm sent here because I've been ordained by others in the office and called by this flock of sheep. Anyone who says, God told me, God laid this on my heart, run from them like your hair's on fire. He's the thief and the robber that Jesus warns of. Ministries that are para-church, that means not a church, but alongside the church, are almost always self-called. The independent churches I've attended both here and in Bryan are started by a husband and wife who felt called directly by God. You know enough to stay away from paramilitary organizations. Even with paralegals, you know they're not lawyers. Parachurches don't want anything to do with the traditional church. They tell you this is to be free of institutions. Well, I get that, but they become an institution unto themselves. A mark of them seems not being transparent in finances. The best man at our wedding was a member of a non-denominational church in Cedar Park. I asked him how much they paid their pastor. He said, the pastor said that anyone could find that out by asking him directly. Thieves and robbers can be identified because they come apart from Jesus. And let's pause to be sure that we understand that what they come to steal and kill is not physical property in life, but spiritual. You would not be at ease around someone out to steal your money, would you? Would you be at ease around someone out to rob you of your property, threaten your life? So why do you hear these warnings by Jesus so calmly? Why don't you hear it as a call to vigilance? LifeLock and Simply Safe adds, well, they get your attention. Ask yourself, if you're having trouble staying awake right now, why that does not happen as you listen to yet another commercial about financial or property security. But it does when Jesus himself warns you of spiritual danger and even death. You sleep right through that. Being forewarned yet sleeping, well, that's spiritual death. Luther was hard on the organized church of his day because they ran roughshod over souls. But he changed his tune when people came claiming to have the Spirit directly without word or sacrament. He famously said he wouldn't believe them even if they had swallowed the Holy Ghost feathers and all. These were thieves and robbers. Simply Safe and LifeLock avail nothing against these. The self-called shepherds must drive their sheep because sheep won't follow them. I'm told that in Australia they do drive their sheep. Well, not in Palestine, not here, not in the UK. Spiritual sheep, real sheep of the Good Shepherd, are defined in this passage by Jesus himself as those who listen to the voice of the shepherd. And they follow him because they know his voice. And they never follow a stranger. In fact, they run away from him. I have experience with cattle, not sheep. Cattle you can drive to a point, but you lose control quickly even then. Once while hunting, a bull was going nuts in the pasture, tangled up in some barbed wire. I fled and got my friend who owned them. We drove back out in his truck. They recognized his diesel engine and milled about the truck peacefully. He got out of the truck. I didn't. He walked up to that 1,800-pound bull who was huffing and swaying his head warily and calmly unwrapped the barbed wire. I, the stranger, drove them nuts. He, their owner, soothed and calmed them just by being there. Now we're back to pastoral scenes of grazing sheep and light, airy music. A Scottish traveler in Jerusalem theorized that what sheep really followed was the shepherd's clothes and not his voice. So he dressed in the shepherd's own clothes and tried to get the sheep to follow. They didn't. But when the true shepherd called, they followed him. Where does the voice of the good shepherd sound today? It may or may not be sounding accurately in your heart or clearly in your conscience, but it certainly does in his word, surely in his sacraments. If you're following someone apart from God's word and sacrament, you're following a thief and a robber, someone out to steal your very soul. And you're not sheep of the good shepherd. That's what Jesus says. My sheep will never follow a stranger. Here we confront that internet phenomenon where we have been educated to say, I follow so and so. I wonder if anyone thinks, let alone says, I follow my pastor. Pastor comes from the Latin word for shepherd, pastor. Literally feeder, from passere, to feed. He, of course, is the under-shepherd of the good shepherd. But that one said of this one, he who hears him, hears me. Legitimate Christian churches, they do have pastors too. While many of them don't recognize confessional Lutherans as having word and sacrament ministries that they have no right to interfere in, confessional Lutherans do recognize that all of them have word and sacrament ministries. But it's incumbent on you, the sheep, to know the difference. If you don't know your catechism, you won't be able to distinguish confessional Lutheranism from Reformed, from Evangelical, or Catholic. For example, what is the sacrament of the altar? The most basic question a pastor can ask someone wishing to commune is that question. Only pastors, in my experience, ever answer with, it's the true body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ under the bread and wine instituted by Christ himself for us Christians to eat and drink. Now, the Catholic would say, it's only body and blood. It's no longer bread and wine. And a catechized Catholic would say it's an unbloody sacrifice of Christ for the sins of the living and the dead. The Reformed and the Evangelical and the non-denoms too, they would say it's not Jesus' body and blood, but a symbol of them. Back to robbers and thieves, and to being forewarned is forearmed. No false teaching leads to life. And insofar as anyone calls you to follow a teaching that is not Jesus, be they sent from legitimate faith groups or come all on their own, they come to give death abundantly. As for speaking the truth in a figurative way, using sheep and shepherds, Jesus drops the figure. That's because they weren't understanding him. Jesus is blunt about this. Even the insert, which isn't a particularly strong translation, is accurate. John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Enough of saying, that Pentecostal preacher is full of zeal. Enough of saying, that non-denominational preacher is so sincere, so loving, so kind. Enough of saying, this college ministry is really reaching kids. enough of saying, having different doctrines, well, that's no big deal. Jesus says the uncalled, the unsent, the self-called, the self-sent person is a thief and a robber, and he's here to only kill, to only sacrifice, to only destroy sheep. Haven't you ever been with a child and come upon a snake or a mean dog? Now there's a real threat. This isn't something you take lightly, and you train your kids not to either. Here Jesus warns you what the person who comes to you apart from him is really up to. Take this lightly or not at all at the peril of your own salvation. But did you see where Jesus goes after such dire, scary warning? He says, even though all who came before him are thieves and robbers, his sheep didn't listen to them. And then all promise, all gospel. He says, I'm the door. Only through me, but certainly through me, if ever at any time anyone should enter, he will be saved. That's a passive. Jesus will be doing the saving. And don't miss that second part. Having been saved by the gospel, the good shepherd, that person will come and in and out and find pasture. This is promise. His sheep do not live in fear of not finding pasture. Jesus promises they will. I get emails from people around the country. Sometimes my own sheep express this same thought. What are we going to do? Where are we going to find pasture? I'm not sure I can tell you in detail where, but I can promise Jesus' sheep will find what they need. All the word, all the sacrament, all the grace, all the mercy, all the peace. Jesus so promises, and no, it will not be from an unsent one who climbed around Jesus. No, it will not be in a church that denies the essence or the benefits of the sacrament. But Jesus promises even more than this. He promises his sheep an abundance of life. Again, we're back to that pastoral music. Again, we're to the bucolic scenery. Now we're to lush green hills, still waters, and overflowing cups. But note how David describes the shepherd's providing. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Jesus predicted false Christ and false prophets shall arise. And many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and mislead many. St. John says about 70 years after Jesus said that, many false prophets have gone out into the world. The Christian life is lived surrounded by enemies. In his 18th century work on the fall of Rome, Gibbon has this very disturbing story of the soldiers of Valentinian. They were accused by eyewitnesses of delighting in the taste of human flesh. When they hunted the woods for prey, it is said they attacked the shepherd rather than the flock and ate him. This drives home the point that to get to the flock, you have to kill the shepherd first. Your good shepherd gave his life up already, carrying away the sins of the world. Your Passover lamb was sacrificed, so your punishment passed over you and landed on him. Well, that's not going to happen again. The good shepherd died once for all and never will again. So, no matter the thieves, no matter the robbers, they can't kill him and get to you. For armed with this truth, we prosper abundantly, peacefully, eternally. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.